I believe tonight that God cares about what happens on this earth. I think He cares about the souls of men. I think the Lord works in the affairs of men. I believe much more than we recognize or know. I think nations rise and fall by the power of God. I believe that the workings of our nation is influenced by God. I think it has to do with what people do. As God works with people, I think He works in the affairs. I think there's been nations that's arisen because God said they would. I think people have turned their hearts from God and God has destroyed nations. I think He sets kings and puts them down again. I think He works in the affairs of local governments and national governments. I think He works in the affairs of our personal lives. I think God works in my life. There's a scripture that says, I set before you this day blessings and cursing. I've seen the curses of this world. I know what they are. I've seen them. I see people turn their back on God, and I see marriages fail. I see children in great trouble. I see the abuses of people. I see the curse of not choosing God. Do you see the curse? I see it regularly. I hear about it daily, the curse. I've seen the blessing. I'm able to compare the two very vividly. I've lived the curse, Brother Ivan. And I've lived the blessing. Tonight, it's all I really have to offer from the Lord is a choice between the two. This day, there is still a choice between the blessing and the curse. They're still valid, living. They still do the same thing they've always done. The blessing is rich. The blessing is wonderful. The blessing is that God approves. The blessing is that God rules. The blessing is that God empowers. God's grace is there. It's the blessing of God. It's what I want to look at tonight. I'm going to start with Proverbs 10. And 22 of Proverbs says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. It's talking about here, I believe, the prosperity of the Lord. When the Lord puts His hand on something, it lives. It lives. The prosperity of the Lord, it maketh rich. People search all kind of ways of making themselves rich. People want to be rich in wealth of this world or lands or all those things. But it's the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. It's what truly will satisfy. It's what truly makes us rich. The world can come up with all kind of things, but do you know that it's really the blessing of the Lord? I think of it this way. It's God's approval on me. The blessing, to know that God Almighty. I don't know what you think of God tonight, but I have a very high respect for God tonight. I think of God as creator of all things and me just being, what is man that He's mindful of us? A great eternal God that made everything so much beyond what I can be and know and all of those things. And yet God, by His own will and choice, has chosen to interact with me. A great God. The blessings of knowing that God. I know there's people of this world that acquire fame. And people look at them and say, oh, they're just great people. They're somebody that people want to shake their hands with. I've heard these kind of expressions. Shake their hands, and I don't want to wash my hands because I shook hands with so-and-so or whatever. Well, I appreciate men of quality and people that have... But you know, the world looks at actors and sports figures and all that, and they make a big motion of the world. But do you know that it's the riches, it's the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich? These people add nothing to life. It adds nothing of quality or value to life. But tonight, do you know and realize that God in your life will be the greatest blessing that you could ever hope to enjoy or know? The fulfilling of having God in your life. I've had God express Himself to me. Talk about not wanting to wash your hands when you're through. Not wanting to change that contact. That place that God done something. I don't want to ruin it, change it. I don't want to get out of the way of what God has done here, because it is beyond any roller coaster ride that I had never felt anything like the Spirit of God burning in my soul. It was it's just amazing. It's the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich. I feel rich beyond measure tonight because of the Lord has kept me from the curses of this world. I pray for this United States of America, and let me tell you why. Because I fear that the blessing's gone. I know this nation, as all people of all time has always been, it hasn't been perfect. But when it was founded, I believe the men that founded it prayed earnestly that God would direct their hearts, their minds, towards higher principles and ideas to run a people with. To be pleasing to God. That's why they incorporated things like that we're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Why did they put that in there? Because there was a fear and knowledge of God in their lives and in their heart that they wanted this nation not only to be a nation of freedom, but a nation that would be pleasing to God Almighty. I believe God looked at that, and with their failures as men, looked at that and said, I'm pleased with that. In the human condition, I'll be pleased. And don't you know that the blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and the prosperity of a nation began. We've been the beneficiaries of that for over 200 years. Because of the foundation that they laid, we've been able to live in freedom. We've been able to live in blessings. We've been able to pursue and those kind of things. And of course, I know the many failures of this country. But it was solidly set with the idea of the men that said it, that God would be pleased with it. And that it would endure because of it. And God maketh it rich. But folks, it isn't true today. And more as we go, I fear that the blessing that maketh rich has turned to a curse that makes poor. There was a scripture where Jesus looked over the city of Jerusalem. And he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you together as a hen with her chicks, but you would not. The blessing that I wanted to bestow, the prosperity of your lives. You know, God wants to prosper us. He would that you be in health and prosper, even as your soul prospers. But you would not. And you know what the rest of that scripture says? that your house is left unto you desolate. Do you know when the Lord causes you to be desolate, you're desolate? There is no return from desolate. When the Lord has said, I remove my blessing, I take my favor off of it. No longer do I favor it. No longer do I pursue after it. But because you chose, because you've chose things outside my realms, because you're looking to things outside my realms, the house is left unto you desolate. I fear that we're going into a very desolate time. How can I not say that when so many people are pursuing such ungodly behavior? How can I assume that there's anything but desolation ahead when those kind of things, the blessings of the Lord, won't fall upon it? But I want to encourage us. I'm not going to leave that there, of course. Because as nations rise and nations fall and people believe in God and then they turn from God, and there's a history with Israel, ups and downs and ins and outs and nations and ups and downs and those kind of things. Right in the middle of all those things, there was people that chose the blessing. Lord, make me rich. Lord, I reject the curse. I don't want the curse. I don't want the curse. I don't want the curse on my soul. I don't want it on my family. I don't want it on my children. I don't want it on the church. I don't want it on the neighborhood or the nation. I reject the curse. Lord, give me the blessing. Give me the relationship with God. Give me your holiness and your righteousness. Give me your word to follow. I want the blessings of God. I want them to rain on me. I want them to cover me. I want God and what He's got and what He has for me in my life. Look with me, if you will, in a scripture over in Genesis. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich tonight. Choose the blessing. Seek the blessing. Desire the blessings. Lord, put your approval upon us. And where we lack in it, Lord, bring us to the place that you can put it on us. Bring the blessings into the midst of the saints' services. Bring the blessings to us, Lord. Help us with what hinders. Help us, Lord, to the things that you can't bless. Help us to reject the things and grab a hold of the things that you can bless and put your approval on. Aren't we desperate tonight? Are we desperate in our nation tonight for the blessings of God upon it? What is the service of the saints? What is the service? I agree with you, Brother Philip. The service, the singing was blessed. The singing was, I think God put His approval on it. Lord, can we make it shine more? Can you put more blessing on it? When we sing it, can we radiate it more with our heart than we have been? Do we sing it just by the words and just by the letter of the notes and by the harmonies in it? Or do we express it because it's our heart? The blessings of God. Oh, may they rain on us. May we find it true that the people that come in and say, who are these people? What are these people? Cannot deny that the blessings of God flow. Over in Genesis, the 32nd chapter, I'll run through this a little bit. Most of you probably know the story of Jacob. Jacob and Esau were twins. Esau had the right of birth. He was born first. And if you follow the law, you'll find out he had the right of the firstborn. He had the right of double portion, of being the one that ruled the family. He had the right of the firstborn meant a lot of things. But it also meant, in this particular case, that it should have been stated, Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. Esau had right to it. But Esau gave it up. And Jacob ends up with the birthright. And this is after that. Esau, he was also tricked. You remember the story? And Esau was very angry and was looking to get vengeance on his brother Jacob. Jacob left out and went to Uncle Laban's house. And this is after it's time to leave now, after many, many years, a couple wives. And he's coming out of there with herds of things and all that. But he's inevitably going to meet the man that he squandered. He's inevitably going to meet his brother.
His brother wasn't just exactly, in my mind, he wasn't just like Jacob. If anybody got blessed with just raw strength, and it seems to be an Esau. Esau was a hunter. He was a, I guess Jacob was a hunter. Esau was a hairy man. He was strong, tough. He's got 400 warriors with him. He's a tough man. And Jacob's got to meet the ire of this brother that he's finagled in a sense. And now he's got to meet that. And he's going with who he is. He's Jacob. And he's got to go with Jacob. And he can't go and say, I'm not Jacob, because he's Jacob. But he's in desperate, desperate place here. And he needs help. And he needs help from the Lord. In the sixth verse of the 32nd chapter, it says, and the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks, and the herds, and the camels into two bands. And said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. All right. He's afraid, and now he's starting to figure out the logistics of the whole thing and how this is going to work. So we'll split him up and give him instructions. When he bears down on one side of you, the other side runs, and at least half of you may have a chance of getting away. And he starts doing what most of us will do almost all the time. We get into a shape. We start using human reasonings about how we're going to fight the battle and how we're going to do it and what the outcomes may be and those kind of things. But God had something better in mind for him. But he needed something. He needed something that he didn't have. He needed something that wasn't at hand. It wasn't within him. He needed something more. And what he needed was the blessings of the Lord. He needed God's approval on him. He didn't have it on him. He needed it on him. He needed to know for sure that God is the one that directs my life. Are you sure of that today? Because you can be. You can be assured that no matter what happens, where you end up, where you go, you can be assured that no matter what enemy you have facing you, or what might be coming or befalling you, you can be absolutely assured that the blessings of the Lord maketh rich. That the Lord will prosper me in this endeavor no matter what it is. Because he's God. And he knows how to do it. Over in the 24th then of this same chapter, it says, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. But I'm desperate. I'm desperate. Not only was I wrestling and wearing and the hard wrestle of the night, but now I'm handicapped. Folks, the truth of it is that somewhere in life we all end up handicapped. Very handicapped with with what we're facing and what we're doing. This comes to the point to show, Jacob, how much are you choosing now? You've done a lot of things now. How badly do you really want this? I'm going to meet Esau tomorrow. And Lord, I really need something. I need it bad. I need to know before I go any farther in this, I need to know that the God of creation is on my side. I need to know that the promise that you made, that I ain't foiled it. I believe that you've made a promise through me, but I can't see it because of the life that's been behind me, and now I'm wrestling, and I'm intent on getting a hold of that blessing that you have for me. I want the blessings of God on me. I want to be able to be successful. I want to bring the joys of the Lord to my heart again. I want to know what God is. I want to be able to spread the news of the gospel. I want to be able to work for the Lord. But Lord, I can't face it. I can't face these things that are bigger than me unless you bless me. And you bless me and I'll be able to square up to this thing. Or maybe in his shape, he'll say, I ain't got it yet, but you bless me and I'll go humbly to Esau. I'll go and know that God will work. Do you know something? There was a time when the Lord walked by a tree and said to the tree, you'll have no fruit on you forever. And cursed the tree. And when they come back from town, the disciples looked and it was completely withered. And they said, how is it that it withered so fast? And Jesus said, have faith in God. Do you know when God curses something, it's cursed. But when he blesses something, it's blessed. There was a rod, Aaron's rod, that budded, though it didn't hook the roots. It budded continually. How did it do that? The blessings of the Lord maketh rich. And it buds. It continues to bud. Oh, Jacob's looking for something beyond himself. He got a hold of something now. He wrestled once, I think a scripture says in the New Testament, he wrestled with God and prevailed. He wrestled with the Lord. He wrestled superior things, but it wasn't about a physical superiority. It was about what he had in his heart. The desire he had in his heart to be blessed of the Lord, to see good things and not be cursed and be overtaken by the enemy and killed in a cruel way and all those things. He could have carnally tried to fought this thing. He could have done anything. If he's got 400 men, maybe I can go find six. Those kind of things. But he wanted more than that. I believe he chose the blessing of the Lord. And it says, and he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. Well, we've heard quite a bit in this meeting about words and word meanings. Well, there's word meanings here. Do you know this is significant? It didn't just mean, well, I'll just make a different letters on your name. It means the same thing. No. What he really said was, I'm changing you. I'm changing you from what the curse would fall on until what I can put the blessing on. I'm going to change who you are. The greatest of all miracles is happening to Jacob. Jacob now, instead of being a supplanter, a deceiver, is now becoming favored of God. Somebody God puts these blessings on and says, I'm going to go with you, Jacob. I'm going to make the paths of your life for you. I'm going to defend you. I'm going to do things that you will never expect. He was afraid of Esau. He was looking at all the things that could happen, but what ended up happening? Well, in the 33rd chapter, I'm going to read that one other verse. He said, I called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men and has prevailed. He got the blessing on him. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and he looked and behold, Esau came. Oh, folks, listen. You got to face your Esau's. You're going to have to face your Esau's. Going to have to face the difficult places. Twin brother, somehow there's almost sometimes been another side of me. A twin brother, if you will. He looks like me. He wants things sometimes altogether different than what I'd really want. I gotta face him all the time. Face him all the time. And now here's Jacob gonna look right in the eyes of the one that They play, I know, it's my thinking, how could they have not, you know the human nature, how could they have not wrestled as boys growing up? It was the same age. They wrestled, threw one another down, laughed at one another, ate together, slept together. Did they not? Was they not brothers? And look what had come before them. I want to tell you, God wants to unite people together. God has a blessing, not a curse. God wants to humble our hearts together. You got an odd tonight, a place? God wants the blessing, not the curse. He changed your name. He changed your name till you got the ability to do it. You couldn't have lived with Jacob. He was always trying to pull something on you. But now you can live with Israel. Because he's a prince and got power with God now to do right things. Now he looks up. I'm going to tell you, it would have been different the day before. But now, he's got power with God. Oh, recently we had some pretty tough times. Had folks calling for prayer. Saw a lot of pain involved into it. Got down on my knees. It's hard to see somebody you care about suffering. Got down on my knees and prayed, and it didn't seem like it made a whole lot of difference sometimes. And I had to start saying, Lord, help me to have power with God. Help me to be able to pray and know there's an answer in God. I hope we all have that feeling because we all depended on one another's prayers. Now, Israel's facing Esau. 400 men, and all got fire in their eyes. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children of Leah and to Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. And now the blessings of the Lord maketh rich. God deals in the affairs of men. He stirred kings' hearts. He's called kings to remember things in the middle of the night. He's called kings to honor things that they wouldn't have honored. He's called men of all times to do all kinds of things. And now, because Jacob or Israel has power with God, oh, how did he do it? I don't know. Give me some liberty. On his way there, Esau's remembering Jacob, the supplanter, the one that stole my birthright. He cheated me. I'm going to get even with him. And then the Lord brings the picture of them by the water hole one to give me some liberty. But think of the idea. They're just a few years old and they're at the water hole. And they're splashing around and having fun, and what fun they had as little boy. And then later on, he's got another memory of his dear brother. And then another one. Then he remembered how precious they had been together. And this is my blood. This is a part of me. Do I really want to destroy it? You ever, Lord help us. You ever been in that kind of a place? You determined you're going to do something, and before the Lord gets through with you, melt in your heart. I'm just going to tell them this is real good, and I'm going to show them, and I'm going to show my wife. I'll show her. I won't talk to her and this kind of thing before long you're melted down. That's my wife. You can run and grab her and hug her and say, I'm sorry, honey. Well, wait, I was going to make her say sorry. Now I'm so sorry. Now, I thank God for the workings of God, the blessings of the Lord. I'm counting on him. Lord, help us all to choose the blessing. Here comes Esau. And Esau ran to meet him, not with a sword, with a kiss. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich. How much money would you pay to change a guy with a sword to a guy with a kiss? It maketh rich because it does things that money can't buy. You can't buy peace. You can't buy tranquility. You can't buy respect from your brother, from your wife, from your mother. You can't buy endearing thoughts from people. You can't buy honor. You can't buy integrity. There's things that you can't buy. If you don't live them and have them, you can't ever have them. But the blessings of the Lord maketh rich. Over in the 106th Psalm, Lord bless this thought to our hearts. In 106th Psalm, in the 13th verse, it says, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. Now, I'm going to set a little setting of this. I think this psalm is talking about the experience of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. They come out of Egypt by a great and mighty hand and work of God. They crossed the Red Sea by an absolute miracle. They come to the other side, and with just a few days, it was as if it didn't happen. This is what the psalmist says about it. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. In other words, Lord, what do we do now? You brought us out of Egypt, and you brought us across the Red Sea, and you destroyed our enemies, but it looks like we're going to starve to death. It looks like where's the water? But instead of waiting as a God that knows, they forgot his works. And they didn't wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but he sent leanness to their souls. In other words, you're murmuring, you're complaining against my providence, my hand to feed you, the manna that's falling. I'll give you your request at your own peril. What he said here was that he gave them their request, but he withheld its blessing. Without its blessing, they would never get fat and full on the quail that he sent. On the meat that they would have never have ever have had what they had before, because he sent leanness with it. There was no blessing on it. Do you know that if we're not careful, we can have all of the exteriors? We can play religion and not have the blessing. And you be lean. And there's nothing you can do about it. We're not fighting one another here. This is God Almighty. And when you say, I want, this is the way I want things to be, there may be a point that God says, then you can have it. But you can't have it with my blessing on it. I don't want it then. Because it's the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich. It's what God has given me of his own wisdom and knowledge that'll enrich in my life. They spoke of manna as it was some curse to them. It sustained every need they had and was designed not to be tantalizing to them, but was designed to have a fullness of their souls. But them looking and realizing that all the time of all the nations and kindreds and people of the earth, there was a people of the earth that God so approved of that he put his blessing on them in the way of feeding them a heavenly source. What thankfulness did ought have been? What? Lord, thank you. Lord, your blessings makes us rich. We're rich in you. What enemy could overcharge Israel when they was faithful to God? None. None could even touch them. None could get close to them. And over and over and over again, they chose to make leagues with potential enemies. Why? God has always required something, folks. He always has. He will require a lifestyle of us. He will require obedience of our lives. He will require us to be obedient to the will of God for Him to put the blessings on us. He will require that we put God first and foremost of everything in our life, or He'll withhold the fatness of it. So there's a requirement, and as I look at the world today, I say, well, it isn't no wonder that people are choosing the curse, because God is saying, I do require something. I require morality. I require uprightness. I require that you do good to your neighbor. I require something of you. And because there's a requirement to it, our world turns from it. But folks, it isn't being blessed. They may get what they desire for, but it'll be leanness. And we see it all the way around us. And my admonition today is this: whatever it is in life that comes our way, whatever we're dealing with, make sure the blessing of the Lord's on it. It's an easy idea. Lord, is this approved of you? Is the blessing on this material that I'm looking at? Is the blessings of God on this? I can pursue all kinds of things. I may have a desire that I need a nice new hot rod car to go up in town in it, but I'm going to have to ask myself a question when I do it. Is the blessings of God on it? Is the blessings of the Lord? I may want to start a business. Nothing wrong with starting businesses, but I'm going to have to find out, is the blessings of the Lord on it? Is it favored of God? I can get real close into life with all of this. I can say about getting married and who you marry and all those kind of things. It can come down to the simple fact, I can get what I want, but is the blessings of God on it? Is God approving of the things that I'm choosing in my life? What I'm putting in there? Because when it really all boils down to it, isn't that what it's about? Lord, do you approve enough to put it on there? Because if He does, it'll be blessed. There's a scripture, it's over in about 2 Samuel 6. There's a story in there, it's a puzzling story to me, but it's an interesting story. David wants the Ark of the Covenant with him. So he sends to get it. And they're going to get the Ark of the Covenant, and there are certain rules to the Ark of the Covenant that God made about its transport and all. They get a new cart, and they're toting it along, and the oxen stumble or shake, and the Ark shakes, and there's a man there, and he puts his hand to the Ark. And God was displeased with him because he done that. And he ran him. He broke him. He fell dead. But it sounds like more than just dead. It sounded like that there was an actual wound on him. He killed him. And it brought a fear, as well as you may imagine. It brought a fear. And David was afraid of the Lord that day. He was afraid of the Lord. And he said, I'm not touching it. We're not leaving here. And he put it in another man's place. For 3 months, the Ark of the Covenant was with this guy. And they started inquiring, and they went and looked at it, and everything the man done prospered. Every time, with the Ark of the Covenant with him, with the presence of the Lord there, everything the man done prospered around him. And when they come and told David, said, hey, this man is prospering. The blessings of the Lord is upon him. David said, let's go get the ark. It's okay. There's enough God for all of us tonight. We all can have the presence of the Lord. It maketh rich tonight. It'll say, Brother Marty, are you dare preaching that I'll become rich in this world if I get the Lord? Not at all. You might get poorer as it go, but you'll be rich in your soul. But I say God wants prosperity for your life in whatever way it is. He wants you to be upright and solid and dependable. And He wants us to have soundness about our lives. I believe that. It's up to the Lord whether I'm rich in this life or not. It's up to the Lord to where how long I live. That's perfectly okay with me. That I leave those matters in the hands of the Lord. But when David saw that there was prosperity with the Ark of the Covenant, he said, I need to get that Ark here because I want the prosperity. I want the blessings I want the blessings of God in my life. It would have been so much better off for Israel had they not murmured for that and chose to serve the God that brought them out of there. He had plans for them. Tonight, God has a plan for you. Oh, He has a perfect plan for you. It's full of grace and mercy. It's full of love. It's full of good things in your life. And when the challenges come of all those things that life brings, there's victory. Because the blessings of the Lord, it really does make rich. It'll make richness for all of us. There has been, and I want to mention a few of them, but there's people in the scriptures that lost sight of that, and they lost the blessing. There was a time where King David lost the blessing. He felt it very keenly that he could not but now know that the God that had so mightily been on his side could just say in the life of David that God hadn't blessed him. He prospered. David prospered from a young lad. He prospered. He had great honor bestowed upon him because as a ruddy boy he slew the giant. And God blessed him with honor and blessed his life and he prospered. Everything that he put his hand to, it prospered. But there come a time that he chose the curse, folks. He didn't choose the blessing of the Lord. He chose the curse. And when the curse run its fullness, it had David in a very bad place. A murderer, a liar, a deceiver. The black mark that was on David exceeds almost any in the scriptures. It was a terrible thing that he done. But he returned. There come a time that he said, you can read it. I think it's the 51st Psalm that he talks about that. And he's looking to God for the blessing once more that I might feel thy spirit again. Renew the spirit in me. Bring me back to the blessings of God. I tasted the curse. I tasted the bitterness of the curse. I don't want no more curse. I want to be restored back to the fold of God. Folks, if you're here tonight and you've tasted the curse or tasted the curse of God, can restore that in your life. Bring you back to blessings and you can know once more that the eternal God of heaven has laid His hand upon your life. And you can say, no matter what happens in my life, when I face my Esau's, I can humble myself to do it. When I have to say I was wrong, I can say I was wrong and know that God's approval is on me. It means more than your approval will ever mean to me. It means more than the earth saying he's a good fella or anything they can do. If I can know that God has put his approval on me, it's all I need. It's all I need. People can say, well, he don't do this, he don't do that. But if God approves of me, folks, you're just moving the wind around in the room. It doesn't mean anything because God approves. If you can't lay a blessing on me, but God can. I want God's blessing on my life. I want to be able to get down when somebody's in trouble, even me. But I want to be able to contact God without having to worry about, is this okay? Lord, I want your approval. I want your approval on my life. Saul was a big man, first king of Israel. He was a humble man. When you was little in your own sight, scripture says. But he chose the curse. He chose disobedience. He chose his own way. And the curse fell on him. The curse fell on him. What are you going to do when an evil spirit from the Lord gets on you? Now what choice are you going to make to get rid of it? God works in the affairs of men. Do you know you can reject the blessing tonight? You can say, I heard the preacher. I heard the voice of the Lord even. I know what he's talking about. There's an eternal blessing. There's a blessing in this life. There's peace. There's joy. There's serenity of life. A communion and union with God himself. I know what the blessing is, but I don't want it. You can say that if you want to, but you can't keep the curse from falling on the choice. Because the choice will come by default. To every rejection of God, the default setting is curse. It'll be a curse. But then there's been those faithful ones, haven't there? Daniel lived in a time of much idolatry. He was a captive. Come on. He was a slave. He was carried away a captive. But the blessings of the Lord maketh rich. I'd rather be Daniel down there than those other guys free. Saul was king and he was free king. I'd rather be Daniel. I'd rather be Daniel down in Babylon than I would rather than be that. And through his reign, the blessings of God fell on Daniel. Over and over again, he prospered in spite of the circumstances. Prospered. Because the approval of God was upon him, and nothing can withstand it. There was a man named Joseph. You remember him? It looked like horrible things happened in his life, and they couldn't keep him from prospering. God had ordained him to be second in command, and the faithful man, the blessings of the Lord fell on him, and he went in all that the devil could do. Nothing could stop him. His brothers couldn't hinder it. Potiphar, he couldn't stop it. They threw him in jail. That couldn't stop him from prospering. God raised him up anyway to prosperity. Because the blessings of the Lord maketh rich tonight. I hope the Lord blesses us with this and let us realize how much there is that God wants to do for us. And how much he is involved in our lives, our decisions. God wants to put his approval and say, that's my child. The prince of this world cometh and findeth nothing in me, Jesus said. There was no place outside the order of God. And so much so that on a couple different occasions, the Lord God was able to testify, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. This is where the blessings fall. Hear him. Here's where I want you to go. Hear him. You'll be blessed in this life. You'll be blessed the life to come. You'll have grace and abilities of things that you wouldn't see possible. There'll be doors open that you never thought would be possible. Because God still works in the affairs of men. I think God wants to work in all of our life tonight. If you're here tonight and you've got away from this blessing of the Lord, there's a way back. There's a way and a decision back to say, Lord, would you stop the curse? Hey, it's what Jesus come for. Jesus came to stop the curse and bring the blessing. The gospel was the blessing. Oh, Lord, help us tonight to receive the gospel. You pray for me.